Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones, here with Taryn Walk. We're going to talk a little bit more about Alabama spring football practice as things progress. Taryn, how's it going?
It's going. How are you?
Good. How many times have you been out to spring football this year? More than me.
Yes. Five.
I think I've done three.
Tomorrow will be six.
And I'll be missing on Tuesday as I drive to Montgomery for Alabama baseball.
I think five. Because it was the Friday before spring break, the three during the week, and then there was maybe two more. I don't know.
Well, you're kicking my butt.
Clearly spring is going well.
Yeah. Alabama, we can give you guys some updates here just in general, some housekeeping items before we just talk a little bit more. Terrell Lewis, outside linebacker, has been gone the last couple days. We saw him walking around the facility just in flip-flops as Alabama was out there for spring practice.
He's recovering from a torn ACL, right?
Yes, an ACL suffered back in July, although he's been out there at times, was out there at times during the end of the 2018 season. Probably a good sign that he's walking around in flip-flops and not in a boot or on a scooter or anything
right.
like that.
He's been practicing in a knee brace.
Yeah.
So there's that, too.
Yeah. I would assume that we'll get an update from Nick Saban on him sometime on Tuesday night. Taryn will be there for that. You guys will probably not listen to this podcast until Wednesday. Get some more details for you guys on whatever his situation is then. Kedrick James, the tight end, who wasn't there for the first couple days of spring, or was it just the first day before spring break?
He wasn't there the Friday before spring break, and then he was not there the Monday after spring break.
But has been there since then.
Correct.
So
he will have his suspension still, though.
Don't know if the suspension had anything to do with missing a couple of days of practice.
I don't think it helps, though.
I don't think it hurts him necessarily. It's not like he's going to be suspended five games instead of four.
But that's part of the reason Cameron Latou, the linebacker, is working with tight ends now.
Yes.
He still has been every practice since it started. I mean, granted, that's during the media open viewing period, which we've gotten at least two viewing periods out of each practice, so that's good.
I will be curious to see if Cam Latou ends up playing tight end when fall practice begins, or if they move him back to outside linebacker.
Or even during A-Day, to see if he gets actual game reps. I mean, it's not actual game, but it's a game.
You know, the obvious comparison in this situation, I think, is Devontae Smith, who
he was with DBs last year.
Yeah, for most of spring practice, just because they needed bodies over there, and they felt like he was a guy that could do it. Obviously played his freshman season and his sophomore season at wide receiver, and it doesn't seem as though playing DB hurt his development in either case.
You know,
I think he did a fine job last year at wide receiver.
I think tight end needs the depth, though. I mean, they lost Hale Hentage and
Irv Smith Jr.
Yeah. And then Kedrick James will be suspended. Is it three games, four games?
Four games, I believe. Yeah.
Something like that. So I think having Cameron as a backup, because what if someone goes down in the first few games? Then you're like, we're screwed.
We'll see if that's a role that he sticks with or if that's just kind of an emergency situation. They do have an incoming tight end in this freshman class as well.
Yeah.
So
that's why spring is kind of like, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Ale Kaho, who was gone at the start of spring practice for the first day, has been back. You're sure that that's good news.
He missed the first two, like Kedrick, and then he was at pro day, and then he showed back up at practice the next day.
Yeah. Alabama's going to be looking, obviously, for depth at the inside linebacker position, in addition to a starter alongside Dylan Moses. So you certainly want to see him back out there. I thought it was interesting when I was out there on Saturday during spring practice to take a look at the defensive backs, just oriented a little bit differently. They were set up in two groups with Carl Scott and Charles Kelly coaching one group and Nick Saban coaching the other group. Maybe there was a defensive GA helping out with Nick Saban in the other group. I couldn't quite tell. Just my perspective on the field. They were on the far side of the field, and I was looking through two different groups of players to see them out there.
And there's also been like groups of people coming to watch practice because they do that a lot in spring. At least I know the last practice I saw, it was professional day because I missed Saturdays due to gymnastics at CC championships.
Yeah, there were a lot of recruits out there on Saturday. I think it usually at some point during the spring, they'll have first responders, police, fire, and EMS folks out there one day. They might have a day where university professors are allowed to come out and check practice out.
That already happened, thankfully. But like my short self, it's hard. Like I can barely see to begin with because everything is so spread out and like my vision isn't the best. Thanks, Dad, for those jeans. But when professional day was last Friday, it was like... I was like having to dip, duck, dive through bodies trying to see people. It was hard. I couldn't even get a look at the wide receivers.
Yeah. Well, we also still have the coaching clinic coming up later this spring, and that's the most brutal of all the days when there are hundreds of high school football coaches out there watching practice, and you just can't see anything.
They just stand right in front of you, which I understand because they're there once and we're there multiple times.
And they're paying to be there.
But we're just putting this disclaimer out here ahead of time, so when that practice report is shorter, no one can hate.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the defensive backs. So you saw Charles Kelly and Carl Scott with one group, Nick Saban, maybe there's a GA with him working with the other group. This is something that we'd kind of talked about going into spring practice. It's a lot of coaching going on out there for the Alabama defensive backs. It's a lot of eyeballs and a lot of experienced eyeballs. Nick Saban, obviously, his background as a defensive backs coach. Charles Kelly had been defensive coordinator at Florida State. Before going to Tennessee, Carl Scott was going to be defensive coordinator at Louisiana Lafayette before Alabama hired him. Before that, had been at Texas Tech. If there's a GA out there, that's, you know, Alabama's GAs tend to be a little bit more experienced or have a little bit more responsibility than at some other schools. That's a lot of eyeballs on that one section of the roster.
Yeah, don't think you're getting away with anything.
No. I do think that, you know, the defensive backfield probably holds up a little bit better now than it did this time a year ago when they had to replace everyone back there. Now they have Xavier McKinney back there, who has talked about being more of a veteran, more of a leader, a guy who can show some of the younger guys what they need to do. You have Shaheem Carter, who could probably play just about any position in the secondary if he needed him to. Has some strengths and weaknesses, and there's some places that you'd rather put him and some places that you'd rather not put him. But I think you could put him at corner. He played star a lot. You could put him at safety.
He's recovering from a sports hernia.
Right. Just a guy who is really versatile. And then two monster corners out there who are 6'2", and Trevon Diggs and Patrick Surtain Jr. Those guys are going to be a really difficult matchup for whoever they play against.
Yeah, which is hearing all that and hearing all who's back is kind of refreshing after seeing the line. Alabama's entire starting secondary is gone. All last season. I do think a big thing is the loss of Deontay Thompson, which is something Xavier McKinney talked about when we talked to him last Friday. I don't know, my days are all screwed up. But nonetheless, somebody's gonna have to step up and be that leader, and Xavier says he's doing that, so I guess that's kind of a we'll see. Also, you can only do so much in practice. I think it's kind of figuring out whether or not you can call plays during the game and get everyone set and organized and on the same page. But what I thought really stood out is that Saban used the word phenomenal to describe Xavier McKinney's practice mentality. And I feel like that's not a word that's casually thrown out there. Like, no. He's been sincerely impressed by this kid, so.
Yeah.
And Xavier's using last year's loss to Clemson to fuel him. And the fact that he just reminds everyone about it, I kind of laugh at that. Like, ha, if we're not reminding you, at least your teammate is.
Yeah. I think Jared Maiden is probably the most likely player there at the other safety spot, at least for the moment. Maybe that'll change throughout spring and A-Day and into fall camp. But the secondary overall is really well stocked. That's a really good group of starters coming back, like we talked about. The second group of Jalen Armour-Davis and Josh Jobe, some of those younger guys, even some of the incoming freshmen like Scooby Carter, some of the commitments further on. I don't think that secondary is going to be a position that Alabama will struggle with for the foreseeable future. Not that the roster is bare in any places or anything, but that's just a position where they look like they're in really good shape now and going forward.
Which is different from where we stood a year ago talking about this, just because it was so new.
Right. There were a lot of guys that I think had a lot of potential, but it was a matter of how long it was going to take for some of them to develop. Xavier McKinney in his first year as a starter, I think, really developed. ended up being a really nice player by the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Surtain wasn't dominant as a freshman or anything, but was not a guy who got embarrassed out there. Trevon Diggs.
Who was the one that got beat really badly at the beginning and then it was pulled out?
Savion Smith.
Ah.
Who is not back. Trevon Diggs.
Never mind.
Returning from his broken foot. Was probably the best cornerback while he was healthy during the season. And Shaheem Carter, like we've already talked about, is a guy that you can put in several different positions. So
kudos to the secondary.
Yeah. You also, while you were out there, got the first look at five offensive linemen all working together.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yes, but you're going to have me recite them right away.
I know what they are, even if you don't, even though you're the one that saw them.
I know, but like it's written down somewhere.
So
not right here.
Left to right, it was basically the group that people had been speculating about since the end of the season, since mm-hmm. the start of spring practice. Alex Leatherwood, who had played right guard last year, has flipped over and is now at left tackle, where he spent his true freshman season. You had Emil Ekior Jr. at left guard.
So that's how you say his name.
Mm-hmm. That's the spot that Deontay Brown had played in until his suspension last year. Will be interesting to see after four games whether they feel like they need to reinsert him into that spot, if he's prepared to go back in at that point, or whether they just want to stick with the guy who played the first four games if he ends up holding on to the spot.
Especially if they develop chemistry that quickly.
Mm-hmm. Chris Owens at center. Although we can point out that they were willing to make the move from Lester Cotton to Deontay Brown in the middle of last season, and then they were forced to make the move back to Lester Cotton. So I don't think that they're necessarily reluctant to just change horses midstream just for the sake of doing it.
Right, yeah. That's true.
Chris Owens there at center is a guy that I think they trusted to play a few different positions last year. At right guard, Matt Womack moving in there. Interesting to see a guy his size playing inside.
He was huge.
Yeah. Had obviously started the 2017 season at right tackle. Then last year had his broken foot during fall camp, which probably hurt him in his competition to be a starter with Jedrick Wills. Jedrick Wills, probably the only guy who's staying in the same location as he was last year,
right,
on the depth chart, where he started at right tackle, and that looks like where he is. Did I get them all right?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't pull it up. But yes, that does sound 100% yeah. correct.
Obviously,
I can like think of the numbers and see them, but yeah.
Yeah.
This is why I carry around notebooks.
There will be some questions about who the second string guys are, whether that's you have a true freshman like Evan Neal, who works his way into the two deep somewhere. Scott Lashley is a guy who's kind of bounced around with the second and third groups at tackle for the last couple of seasons. A few other players who could be in the mix for that, like Tommy Brown, who redshirted last season. Who else? Kendall Randolph. Just a few other guys. I haven't seen the second group there yet, which is one thing that I'll be looking for this week.
I haven't seen this. I always missed the second group when they were going through their drills, but I looked up and got the third group. But of course, that's in my notebook.
Mm-hmm.
I should have brought that in here. Noted for next time.
Yeah.
So I didn't think putting the first and then the third would make sense in the practice report.
Yeah. I will be curious also to see kind of how some of the defensive line snaps break down, because we've seen that shake out in a few different ways, at least in the four seasons that I've been here. There have been seasons where six or seven defensive linemen played, and then last year they more or less played four guys. It was the three starters and then mm-hmm. LeBryan Ray. While you were gone on Saturday, I got a pretty good look at the defensive line groupings. The first group, probably not any surprises. You had Raekwon Davis, LeBryan Ray, and Fedarian Mathis in the first group. Ray mm-hmm. was actually in the middle, and Mathis was outside, which is the opposite of the roles that they played last year. Mathis was the second string tackle there in the middle, and LeBryan Ray played more end. But I don't know if that was just for the drill that they were doing, if the order that they were lined up in mattered or not.
Yeah. That's the thing. No one's like truly lined up because we haven't seen those one lined up drills yet.
Right. We haven't seen any 11-on-11. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have Christian Barmore and Stephon Wynn, who I believe both redshirted last year as freshmen that were with the second team, and Tavita Musika, kind of a role player at defensive tackle last year, who was the second string defensive tackle. And again, you know, this is stuff that can be adjusted as incoming freshmen come in. I don't know if Tavita Musika will be playing a different role or a more expanded role than what he was last year, kind of a run stopper matchup type guy,
mm-hmm.
Or if that's probably what you'll see from him again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting, especially this weekend with the first scrimmage, depending what y'all get to see. I will be out of town. We're just bouncing back and forth here among spring practice. But I think that'll be finally a true idea of what both offensive and defensive line will line up as. I really think that this season it'll have to be kind of how Quinnen Williams stood up last year and dominated. I think this season it'll have to be Raekwon Davis. I could see him doing a little bit of the same as he did last year, though, where he just, I mean, he did well. He didn't do poor, but he didn't have such a standout season like Quinnen did. So it will be interesting to see whether he finally finds his groove and can thrive in it, or if someone else is going to steal the spotlight again.
Yeah. One of the expressions that is kind of front of mind for me at the moment, just because I'm at baseball, you hear people talk about trying, you want to be strong up the middle in baseball, which means that defensively you want to be strong at catcher, second base, shortstop, and mm-hmm. center field. And I think that that's where a lot of the questions are for Alabama football this year.
Yeah.
On the defense, you have defensive tackle, you have inside linebacker, aside from Dylan Moses, obviously, and then you have one of the safety spots, kind of those spots up the middle, where you'll be looking for new players to step in.
Dylan Moses, so we talked to him last week, I think Monday it was, but I mean, regardless of what day it was, he was talking about how excited he is to be the Mike linebacker, how he's like, him and Nick Saban talked about this when he was recruited, and then his first year, and he's just kind of slowly but surely been learning the playbook. Not slowly but surely. He said he figured it all out within 11 months, but solidifying that role in his leadership. But then when I asked Nick Saban about how has Dylan Moses proved he's ready for this role? Oh, it's not confirmed at all. I'm like, okay, like, I know it's your team, but like,
that's
he literally
Nick's,
told us that he's going to be.
That's what Nick said at the press conference?
Well, he said, like, everything's still up in the air, like, talked about the position itself and how conceptual it is and, like, what it takes to be, like, good at it. And he's like, yeah, like, he could do that, but things could change. And I'm like, all right, like, your player literally told us he's going to be the Mike linebacker. And I just don't think he likes being told what his players are going to do, whether it's us or his players.
I think that's a piece of it. And the other piece of it might be trying to deliver a message through the press conference to
nothing
to
is
Dylan.
For sure.
Yeah. That this is still something. This is something that he has to work at. This isn't something that is just going to be his because he's the returning starter there.
Yeah,
necessarily.
And he did say he doesn't have to prove anything. Like, he just needs more reps. So as long as he doesn't screw up those reps, I guess.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see out of the first couple scrimmages here before A Day how much shakes out. If there's anything that becomes a little bit clearer. At this point, I think it's just kind of still wait and see. In a lot of different cases, it's hard to tell some of the stuff before there's any real 11-on-11 action out there.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a shame. And we don't even get to see him, like, do any packages and stuff yet.
No, but we can talk to some of the people who do. Hopefully, we'll be able to tell you guys about that sometime soon on the podcast. So.
Oh, you mean, like, talking to players who do?
No, some of the folks who get to go see the scrimmages when they do the red.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was talking about practice straight up, not scrimmage.
Yeah.
Ah.
So hopefully that'll be coming soon for you guys. So be sure to check back in the next couple of weeks. Also, we're going to be returning later on this week with Cecil Hurt and Taylor Watson at the Bryant Museum, looking at some of the coaches in between Coach Bryant and Coach Saban. I believe that this week we're on Mike DuBose. I have to double check.
Last week was Gene Stallings.
Right. Also, leave us a rating or a review. As of Monday morning when we're recording this, I think we have 72 ratings on iTunes.
I want to hit 100.
Yeah. If we get to 100, I will stop asking you guys to leave us ratings or reviews for 10 whole shows. That's more than 3 weeks of podcast shows. Really,
yeah.
At that point, it might be the summer, and so it might end up being like a full month of not asking you guys about that.
I'm sure y'all would very much enjoy that. So just go leave a review. Even if the review is, please stop asking us to leave reviews. Don't do that.
We do appreciate it when you guys do that. I always appreciate it when I run into folks in person who say that they enjoy the podcast. And a lot of you guys have left us reviews as well. So.
I've been told I need to speak up. But I think that's more so when it's you, me, and Cecil. So
yeah, we need to.
But that's because Cecil needs the mic right in front of his face. Otherwise, no one can hear him.
We need a third mic in here, really.
Budget props.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, this is the Bama Beat. This podcast is brought to you by Mobley & Sons. I actually stopped in Mobley & Sons just a few weeks ago, have some alterations done. They were great, really helpful, had a great time in there. Mobley & Sons has an unmatched selection of men's clothing combined with superior customer service. They've served as a fine men's clothier since 1969. Go check them out. They'll get you looking good for the big game.